Today is Tuesday, April 12th, 2018. Today is Thursday. I was on travel Tuesday. I lost a few days. Pardon me. April? Are we good with April? 12? Okay. 11 o'clock. And this is panel 4002, titled Resonance Borealis. My name is Joel Parker. I'm your moderator. I'm an astronomer with the Southwest Research Institute, studying various things in the sky, such as comets and stars, and being involved in missions that fly by Pluto and land on a comet. But I know precious little, meaning none, about aurora and plasmas. I've never seen an aurora, so I'm very much looking forward to this. As a precursor, as an introduction for the performance we're about to see, we first have a presentation by one of the faculty members here at the University of Colorado. Robert Ergen is a professor in the Astrophysical and Planetary Sciences Department. His primary research is in plasma astrophysics. He studied Earth's aurora over 20 years ago, building instruments that have gone all around the solar system, studying the Earth, Mars, Jupiter, who knows where else. He's going to give you perhaps an Aurora 101. So, thank you, Robert. One more thing, so the planetarium people are happy here. If you have not been in Fisk before, there are two exits. Over here on this side, you'll see this exit sign. This exit sign is not over the door, it's next to the door. So when you see the exit sign, go to the right. Don't go too far to the right because there is a metal bar in between the two doors. Similarly, behind you, there is a pair of doors there with an exit sign again to the left. So if you need to exit, keep that in mind. I think, is that all the safety I need to say? Okay, and now again, Robert.
Yeah, the simple rule is walk. If there's an emergency out the exit, don't run, and don't run right at the sign. All right, well, I can't claim to be an expert in aurora, although I did do a lot of work on it 20 years ago, so I apologize that everything I'm going to tell you is maybe 20 years old, but I did try to read up a little bit and catch up. How many of you have seen the aurora? Okay, so we have some Canadians here, or Minnesotans and things like that. Yeah, it's beautiful. A lot of times, if you haven't seen it, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you have to wonder. It is a mystery, and it is beautiful, and this is a perfect setting to have music play to this. Now, the aurora's been around probably a lot longer than mankind. Probably when dinosaurs were stomping the Earth, there was aurora. So, and it will continue as long as the Earth has its magnetic field. And the ancients, you can imagine, wondered and looked at this in awe. These displays of light that were magically dancing about the sky with red and green lights, typically. That was thousands of years ago. And it really wasn't until about 100 or maybe 150 years ago that science started walking into this into the studies of aurora. In fact, the aurora were compelling reasons for scientists to start studying things like electricity and magnetism, quantum mechanics, light emission, charged particle acceleration, cosmic rays. All these things were associated with the aurora at the turn of the century. So it was at the turn of the century that scientists first realized that electricity and magnetism had a lot to do with this. They first realized the Earth had a magnetic field and that these streaks of light that you're seeing here are actually following the Earth's magnetic field lines. That was our first hint that electricity and magnetism had a lot to do with this display. Now fast forward to the Schrodinger equation, quantum mechanics, when we started understanding about light emission. We started understanding that this particular light is a very, very specific color. There's only two or three of them that are in the aurora. This is actually a oxygen that could only be produced by oxygen. And same with this red light. So again, the mystery started becoming unraveled, but very slowly. It turned out that scientifically, the aurora was an extremely difficult nut to crack. And it wasn't until advanced fast forward now to the 50s where people started realizing that the sun was involved with this. And that, in fact, the sun blows off a constant wind, constantly blowing off this plasma. It's a charged particle called the solar wind. These are charged particles that strike the Earth's magnetosphere and are deflected by the Earth's magnetosphere and actually refocused towards the northern and southern latitudes of Earth. Now, it wasn't really until the space age that we started to get even more understanding of the aurora. And that is the first satellites that went up that actually flew through these aurora regions. People tried high-altitude balloons. They tried sounding. Then rockets went up into these auroras, and then eventually satellites. And at that time, we started understanding that these were, in fact, charged particles that were being highly accelerated right into our atmosphere. And when they strike the atmosphere, they excite the oxygen. They make it glow. And that was our first understanding of the basis of science behind this. And it really wasn't until several missions later, I will credit a lot to the Fast Auroral Snapshot satellite that was flown in the early 90s. So that wasn't too far ago, that 20 years ago, that really got true measurements of the electrons that were accelerated, the striking into the upper atmosphere, and the origin of these electrons coming from a complex interaction in the Earth's magnetotail. So that's science one, that's Aurora 101. It turns out that there's a lot of interesting scientific processes behind this, not just a simple explanation just doesn't work terribly well. So when you read things like on the Wikipedia and things like that, actually, they're mostly wrong. Because it just defies a simple explanation. And to me, and this is just my own personal opinion on this, this is just the more you know about science, the more you start understanding things from black holes in the aurora and to the beauty of a flower and to the smallest things in the world. And you realize that the universe is really magical in a lot of ways. And so I think it's very, very appropriate that we have music and we have art mixed in with this really what is, I think, a fascinating scientific story. So I'm going to turn this now over back to our moderator. Or should I just give it to Roman at this point? Oh, there you are. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Father.
So now with, I don't think, any more necessary long introduction, we have Roman Zavada, our performer, who, if you read his bio, which is very interesting, started playing piano at the age of 4, apparently hasn't stopped since. So I will happily now turn it over to Roman and Resonance Borealis.
Hello. Welcome to my universe. I'll get myself installed. I'll speak later on. Well, welcome. Yes, my name is Roman Zavada. I have this project in mind since, I think, 2011. I did a lot of piano accompaniment on silent movies, and I was touring in Quebec. As you see, I have a French accent from Montreal. So I was touring in the Magdalen Islands in the St. Lawrence Gulf, and I was with a car, but my family, my mother was there also. And I shared this idea. All my ideas start on the road. And I was like, hey, I'll go improvise, compose, under the northern lights. The reaction in the car was... You're very good public. There were none. So I said nothing for 2 years. I was like, maybe it's not that a good idea. But in 2013, I did some researches, and there was kind of a peak of northern lights coming. So I did researches, and I said, hey, where could I go and see them? And where could I bring an upright piano? Yes. In Yellowknife, in the Northwest Territories. So there I was, 2 weeks, with a tent and an upright piano in the middle of the boreal forest. Bears, and coyotes, and wolves. They killed a bear 2 days before I came, so I was fine. I was in a safe place. So I had this territorial park for myself for 2 weeks, actually. So I recorded everything, came back home, and continued the composition. And on over almost 2 years, actually, so the album was released in 2016. So we went back, actually, in 2015 to film the Northern Lights in 360 degrees. But we filmed them, so you'll see the real time, the real movement of the Northern Lights, and we're pretty much one of the first in the entire world to capture them in real time. So I got a film crew with the Society of Arts and Technologies in Montreal, so we went back to Yellowknife again. This time, we upgraded. I was in the house. So we filmed, we came back with a lot of minutes, and we just kind of did an immersive film, but just keep in mind that this is mainly a musical project and then became a show for the Planetariums and Full Domes. So I'll just welcome you to my universe and my composition creative way of thinking music, since I'm four and definitely piano is in my life, so I'm still there playing piano. So welcome in my universe, welcome in my Résonance Boreale, which probably would be maybe translated as the northern vibes that are kind of not explainable in words, but in music. Thank you.
September 2011, I go on tour. On stage, I improvise on the piano under the lights of silent films. I am in dialogue with the moving black and white images. Between each performance, the road fascinates me. The time, the space, the remoteness. The sun breaks through the clouds on the horizon. An idea comes to my mind. This intuition beckons me on a new musical journey. The Great North awaits. September 2013. On the banks of Prelude Lake, I anchor an old upright piano into the Northwest Territories. Between the skinny pines, I am tiny and alone in the middle of the taiga. At dusk, I settle behind my instrument. My fingers warm up to the keyboard. Suddenly, the night breaks into color. The northern lights dance for me in the darkness. I improvise under the stars. September 2015. 2 years later, I walk on the same bed of leaching with Bruno and Dominic. We plant our tripod into the rocky crest of the Canadian Shield. We point our cameras to the infinite heavens. We wait for them. Under the glowing moon, the lights drift and reveal. We film their beauty in real time, 30 frames per second. We capture 360 degrees of their splendor in high resolution. Today, if I was a writer, I would describe the Northern Lights with my words. If I was a painter, I would reveal their colors with my brushstrokes. My name is Roman Zavada, and I am a pianist.
I write with my instrument, and I paint with my notes. Welcome to my world. Welcome to my Résonance Boreale.
Thank you. Thank you. last piece is the title piece of the project, Résonance Boréale. The CD is available. The only way it's available is physically with me. So there will be a few copies at the door at the exit. I just want to thank the Planetarium, the 50th Planetarium, and the CWA for the invitation. It's my fourth time here in Boulder, so hoping to come back. I'll be there this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and tomorrow evening there's a paid event also organized by the 50th Planetarium, so I think it's at 7 o'clock tomorrow. I'll be here also, so spread the word. And so we'll finish with Résonance. Oh yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
very much.
I forgot to thank you for coming. So thank you for coming.
And
I think maybe we do have time for questions, or...
So we do have time for a few questions if you have them, and Roman will be in the lobby, I believe, afterwards.
Afterwards, I'll be at the lobby at the exit with a few albums with me if you're interested, and I'll also spread the word for tomorrow evening.
So we're going to do this a little old school. Instead of using the app, I'm actually just going to point to people who raise their hands, and... I also just wanted to mention, as part of the celebration for the 70th Conference of World Affairs, we are having a crowdfunding drive to try to raise $70,000. We're about a quarter of the way there. And you can donate by going to the website, clicking on the donate button. So, questions? Anyone? Yes, I'll start over here. So the question was, in terms of movement, how much was shot in real time?
Pretty much. 400 minutes. The only part that wasn't shot in real time was the, we had a few cameras spare that we put on reels, so we did time lapses for one of the pieces. I think the pieces where you applause at the end. So it's very, the movement is very fast. But before we went, actually, pretty much what we saw on the web was time lapses, but it didn't really give the real idea of what it is. But all the rest, the two last ones particularly, are very beautiful, and it's really the real speed. Sometimes you have the feeling that it maybe turns, but we are in a planetarium, so the film basically is a circle. So the auroras are really in real time, but sometimes we just kind of turned the video on itself, so it gives the illusion that the stars are moving, but the auroras are in real time. There you go.
Yes, question. I was just curious, what kind of thinking went into the order of the movement? Because I noticed the most vivacious movement was in the middle, and that softer toward the end. The celestial symphonies are more vivacious.
Yeah, it's a good question.
So the question, if I may repeat, is. What was the consideration about the order of the movements of the piece?
It's a good question. I composed really in I'll have trouble with that word, with lots of intuition. it's not the same order as the album in my other show. I do another show on real conventional stage with three big screens behind, and in that case, I finish with the time lapses. There's kind of a climax, but I wanted to bring, because in the dome, it's a very special feeling. It's not, for a performer, it's really not the same as performing on a normal stage. I think the audience are letting themselves into this environment. So I wanted to finish on a kind of a peaceful note instead of, I could have finished with a climax, but. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of leave the people on this kind of contemplative way. There you go. So.
Let's see. Thank you for directing my attention.
Yes.
So is that a dish island pointed upward, and what latitude were you at?
So the question was, what latitude were you at, and
is that a fish island?
Is that a fish island?
I was around 62, I forgot, I think. It's between 62 and 64 latitude, the Yellowknife. It's pretty up north. It's really under the circle of the Northern Lights, and it's a place where it's fairly flat also. There's lots of Northern Lights, well, obviously in Alaska and in the Yukon, but there's lots of mountains, so Yellowknife was pretty flat. So for us, in both cases, with the first trip with the piano, I had really a 360-degree view of the sky, and especially on the second trip with the cameras, then we had the same 360-degree views, but we used, for the time lapses, we used fisheye lens, but for the real-time auroras, we had five cameras and five hard disks on the tripod, so we did a rig, so we had one camera pointing to each cardinal and one at the zenith, and then we stitch all the movies together to do the full circle. So officially we have more than 180 degrees, because you have the 360 degrees, but the dome is in 180. So we film up to 210 degrees. So we see really the horizon when the dome, there's a few domes that could project it this way, like in Montreal we have one, so all what's in black around you, it was projection. So we saw really the horizon as it. So we had five lenses and we had wide angle for each camera.
Any other performances elsewhere?
Well, next week in New Jersey. And yes, actually it's my fourth time. I came here and there was a big congress, Immersa, which is kind of a immersive congress that was in Denver, I think 2 or 3 years ago. And so I performed Résonance Boréale here. So it was more mainly for the people of the immersive community. And that's how I got here to the Fisk Planetarium. So they invited me back to the Fisk Film Festival that was held in 2016. And I then won the best soundtrack on the movie, which is funny because I was playing live. But so and from there on, they invited me back last year. And last October, we did, I think, four shows. And it was like that really great public. And that's how I got back here this time for the CWA. So for now, yeah, Boulder is pretty much the only place, but I definitely want to tour this show in other planetariums and try to open their minds to other projects than just astronomy. It's still related, but it's still a performance, so it's fairly new in the planetarium community to have concerts in the domes, and Boulder is one of the only ones that are starting this, so I really thank them for that. There you go.
I should mention that Fisk Planetarium has one of the best, if not in some ways the best, projection system in, I believe, North America right now. So you're really seeing this in a very excellent environment.
Yes, I think it's an 8K projection, am I right, behind? Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. And we shot the final resolution is in 6K, so it's one of the only domes where we could really see the real resolution in which we filmed the Northern Lights.
And they also do a full dome film festival here, which is amazing. So, one last question. Yes. Oh, where in Jersey?
You see, you never know. Now you'll laugh. Tom's River.
Oh my God.
You see? Perfect. Okay, well, I'm in Tom's River. If you have any relatives in Tom's River or friends, I'll be there. I think it's starting on Wednesday or next Thursday, so next week. It's on their website at the Tom's River Planetarium. There you go. Thank you very much.